Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is good. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Lord is so good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, welcome to Family Church Corey. Hallelujah. The Saturday night live version of church. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. That's because we're live on Saturday night. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're so thankful for the Lord. We're so thankful for what He's doing here. You know, I've been it's Jeremiah 29:7. We know Jeremiah 29:11, but Jeremiah 29:7 talks about praying for the peace of the city that he says, pray for the peace of the city that have caused you to be captive or carried you away to be captive. He goes on to say, for in its peace, you will have peace. Amen. Now that word peace is really an interesting word. That word peace literally means to prosper, to be in good health, to be, you know, to prosper and to do good. Now, this is something that I've learned and it's revelation to me, and I'm excited about it. But you know, when God plants a good church and a good local church in a town, His intent is to prosper that area. Amen. And so, and actually everywhere that He sends us as Christians, born again believers, God is intending that the grounds that we walk on shall prosper. Amen. And it brings glory to His name when that's the case. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody's just going to be wearing, you know, all kinds of gold and driving Rolls Royces and stuff like that necessarily, but it means that it will prosper. It'll do well because God wants to leave His mark, amen? And He wants to leave His mark on Corey. Aren't you glad, amen? Praise the Lord. And if you're coming here to labor for this work, then you understand this, that you just get to be part of that process, amen? That God is using you to bring blessing to others. And what a wonderful thing that is. But praise God, I'm so happy that we're here. I'm glad that you're here, amen? We couldn't have church without you. It'd be real boring to preach to nobody, amen? Praise the Lord. Tonight's message is called The Sheep or the Shepherd, amen? The sheep or the shepherd. And the question really is about which are you? Amen. Now, when I say the shepherd in this context, I'm not talking about the pastor. I'm talking about our Heavenly Father, who is our shepherd, the chief shepherd. Amen. You know, each person has a job to do, don't they? You know, if you work in any kind of job, everybody has their job to do. And it's always annoying when somebody is doing the job that they're not supposed to be doing. Amen. Especially if somebody's trying to do your job. Amen. But I got to thinking about this, and now, you know, I'm about to go on a trip here, and we're going to fly out of Erie. Amen. But you know, it would be real disheartening if we're 30,000 feet in the air and the stewardess comes back and says, "Hey, has anyone seen any of the pilots?" Right? Praise the Lord. I wouldn't volunteer to do it. I mean, I guess if there was nobody else, I'd try like crazy because it's better than just crashing and burning. But you want the pilots where the pilot's supposed to be, amen? And you don't want somebody, you don't want the stewardess to come back also and say, "Hey, you know, the guy who takes out the trash, he decided to fly the plane today." Now, there's nothing wrong with the guy that takes out the trash, but if he hasn't been trained in that, or if he's not supposed to do that job, it just wouldn't be much fun riding in a plane with the janitor, would it? Flying. You know what I mean? Now, if you're sitting next to the janitor, praise the Lord for the janitor. I've flown as the janitor, glory to God. And so there's nothing wrong with that. It could be quite a blessing to fly as a janitor. But you don't want to be flying the plane as a janitor, unless, of course, you're a janitor slash pilot, in which case it would be okay. Praise the Lord. But we need to understand that, you know, we need to do our job and not try to do God's job. Let God be God and we'll be Christians. Praise the Lord. And when we do this, everything works in our favor. Glory to God. God has a plan and a purpose. And if we follow that plan, don't you know, it'll just work out right. Yeah. Things will just happen the way that they're supposed to happen. God's plan will come to fruition. Amen. He has never guaranteed us our plans, but He has certainly guaranteed us His plans. Amen. But so many Christians, they don't know what to believe. They don't know what to think. They don't know what to do. And the reason is because they've never consulted God about His plan. They've made their own plans and they think, well, this must be God because I came up with it. How goofy is that? Amen. You know, just the same as I wouldn't want, like, the stewardess coming to look for the pilot. I also don't go knocking on the door with some advice for the pilot. Amen? Because I don't have anything to offer him. Amen? I know about, the most I know about flying is that flapping your wings doesn't work. Or your arms, amen. It doesn't work for a human. And so I leave the flying to the one who knows the flying, amen. And because I do that, everything works good. If I start pounding on the door and try to get into the cockpit, we're not going very far. You know what I mean? And we could hinder the getting there, amen. Praise the Lord. But the same thing is with God. We're so often we're trying to do the things that God does. You know, the Bible tells us that one plants, one waters, but God gives the increase. Amen. So we aren't even responsible to give the increase. We're responsible to work. But see, the labor that we're responsible for is not necessarily all labor either. The labor we're responsible for is the labor that God has called us to. And when He tells us what to do, when we find out what His plan is, it works good. It works well. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you are a Christian and nothing in your life seems to be working, you have to get into God's plan. The reason nothing is working is because you are not in God's plan. How do we know that? Because Jesus said you will know them by their fruits. In other words, you know an orange tree because when you walk up to orange tree, it's got oranges on it. Amen. And the same thing goes with you. You can know how good of or effective of a Christian you are by the fruit in your life. Amen. Now that doesn't mean that you'll be, if you're a good Christian, you'll be without attack. Of course you will have attack. Jesus promised that. There'll be trials. There'll be tests. Amen. You know, one of the things I love about the word, one of the things that's interesting about the word testimony is that right there in the first four letters is the word test. Amen. And so what does that tell us? That means that if you're going to have a testimony, there's going to be a test. And a lot of people focus on the test, and I understand that, but we need to focus on the testimony. You know, if we've had a test, we need to have a testimony. We need to rejoice in that. You know, the football team, is they, if they win the whatever thing they win when they win, amen, the rings or whatever they win, or the trophies or whatever, when they win those, they don't just throw them in the garbage and say, eh, you know, but that's what a lot of Christians do. They go through the test, and then they don't shout their testimony on the other side. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's part of your job, by the way, is giving the testimony. But God brings us to the testimony if we'll let Him. Amen. Well, let's start here in 1 Peter 5, 6. Praise God. 1 Peter 5, 6. God loves us. Is there anyone that doubts that here tonight? Praise the Lord. If God loves us and there's nothing that can separate us from His love, then we're in pretty good. We're in a pretty good place, aren't we? Amen. We're not like those religious people that just believe that God loves us, but He doesn't do anything. No, God loves us, and He does things to prove it. Praise the Lord. Because if the Word tells us, it tells us that our works, our faith without works is dead, then God's faith without works is dead. Amen? Our love without works is dead, and so God's love without works is dead. God proves Himself. Praise the Lord. Glory to God over and over and over again. Amen. Well, 1 Peter 5, 6, and we'll read 5, 6, and 7. It says there, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Notice that, you know, of course, here's a direction to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. That, there's a purpose in that. Now, God has a purpose for us being humbled, and that's because He wants to exalt us. And so this is something that we have to understand as Christians, that God's desire is to exalt us. So we have to allow Him to exalt us. Amen? Praise the Lord. You know, I was thinking as we were coming down here, and we were praying and stuff, and we're talking. We always, my wife and I always have good conversations about the Lord and stuff anyways, but we were praying a little, and I was just kind of seeking the Lord on some things. And you know, this idea came to me that just generally as we are, we can't receive the blessing that God has for us because we are incapable of believing that it's actually for us, that God would actually want to do that much for us. So many Christians hinder what God wants to do. It seemed to me that God said to me this, I can't even give you all that I want to give you because you won't even receive it. In other words, you'll look at it and you'll say, "Well, I couldn't take that. That couldn't be for me." Do we believe God? Do we trust God that he wants to do good things for us. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You know one area, you know the reason that comes to me? It's because God will bless me, and I'll find ways to try to justify when I speak about it to other people. I'll try to find ways to justify why, well, it's a blessing, but, you know, I had to go through this to get it. You know what I mean? I have to try to justify it. Instead of just saying, you know what, God loves me, so he blessed me. What about being bold about the truth, and that's God loves you, so he blesses you? Listen, we shouldn't always be looking for, and that's part of the old life trying to creep in, but we shouldn't always be looking for some reason why, you know, I got this, but, you know, we shouldn't always be looking for that way out. And God's saying, could you ever, you know, it's like God was saying to me, can you even just receive what I have for you? Can you just receive it and be joyful about it to cause rejoicing? Amen. No, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Remind me of that later, love. I gotta dig into that some more. Amen. Praise God. But it says, therefore, humble yourselves that God may exalt you in due time. Amen. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Glory to God. Now, we know that the Bible talks about being humble a lot, that humility is a good thing. Amen. We're told the meek shall inherit the earth. Somebody who is meek is a person who is mild in spirit. And so there's somebody who is humble. You know, humble is that it's not lofty in their own estimation. They don't think of themselves as anything great by their own accord. I mean, they can see God's greatness on them. Amen. It's not being debasing, but it is recognizing that. Amen. But it says here in verse 7, casting all your care upon the Lord or upon him, for he cares for you. Yeah. Glory to God. Notice it says casting all your care. Yeah, not his care. It says all your care. See, a lot of things people think that God's putting this on him, and he's saying cast all your care. Yeah. What don't you cast? You cast it all. He said, cast all your care. Amen. Now, the word cast, it means to throw. And when we think about if we're casting, if we're fishing and you cast the line, you're not just bloop like that. No, you cast it because you want, a lot of times you're trying to get it out there further. I even thought about it like this. If you had a live grenade in your hand where the pin had been popped and it's got so much time before it explodes, you don't just plop it. Amen. You cast it. Yeah. How are you casting it? You are going to give that every bit of oomph that you got to get it as far away from you as you possibly can. Amen. So God is saying the same thing about our cares, that we need to cast them. Amen. But we're casting them upon him. We're giving them to him. Now, we see this a lot. The word care means, I love what the word care actually means, because we actually look at care a lot of times when we read the scripture. We think, you know, if I have troubles, then I cast that on God. And yes, that applies. You know, if something's going wrong, well, I cast that on God. If I need something, well, I cast that desire on God. Amen. But the word care literally means to worry or anxiety through the idea of distraction. So anything that can distract us, anything that distracts us from the plan of God, anything that distracts us, you know what I mean? Like maybe you want to increase something in your life. Maybe you desire something. There's nothing wrong with desiring things. There's nothing wrong with Christians that want things. Amen. As long as it doesn't become an obsession. But you know, Christmas is coming up. Many of us will want something for Christmas. If you don't, well, praise the Lord, I do. So I'm going to want something for Christmas. There's things I want for Christmas. But if I sat there and I was fretting about it, worrying about it, thinking about it all the time, how am I going to make this happen? Just even things I want. Your care is even things that you desire to have. Yeah. Maybe you just desire to have a better car, a nicer car. Not even because you need one. You just want one. Have you ever wanted something better? Not because you needed it, just because you wanted it nicer. Praise the Lord. Have you ever looked at, we do this around our house a lot. We'll look at a room that's been painted, you know, in recent times, and we'll like, I'm bored with it. Need to repaint it. Amen. I look at things like that all the time. I could remodel our house probably once a year and be happy. doing so. Why? Because I just had that desire to do so. But you know, if I worried about that, you know, sometimes I'll be honest with you. Sometimes when I think about all the things that I want to do in life, just naturally, I'm not sitting around dwelling on it all the time. I'm not sitting around thinking, I'm thinking about the things of God, I would say mostly. But, there's things in my house that I want to do. There's, you know, I look out there and I see an empty piece of ground and I think, man, I kind of want to build something on it. You know what I mean? And then I start adding the figures up in my head, and the figures are way more than I can afford or to add on by myself. I can't just go do it. But what is that? That's a care. That's a care because it's something I care about. It's something that I would pursue. Amen. And, you know, something you won't pursue doesn't really matter. I found a table. I love this. My wife is I'm an ideator. I get a lot of ideas about things. I kind of come up with things I want to do. And yesterday I called my wife. I had been at one of the antique stores and I found a base to a table, and I thought, man, this is really cool, and I could do something with this. I think I could turn it around, put a nice top on it, turn it around and actually make some money off of it, you know? And so I put it before my wife just because it was an idea I had. And she's like, okay, go ahead and do it. You know, whatever, we'll figure it out. Now I haven't gone and done that. Why? I didn't go back to the store and buy it immediately. Why didn't I do that? Cause it wasn't big enough care for me. It wasn't something that really mattered to me. Amen. Now I'm not saying I won't ever, but you know, there's a lot of things like that in life where, yeah, you might think, oh, it'd be nice, but when you get it, you're like, I could do something else. You ever done that? I bought a new pair of shoes this year. Praise the Lord. Needed a new pair of shoes, and I bought a new pair of shoes, and I got them, and I didn't like them, so I took them back after about a week, and I got another pair of shoes. Amen. And I got these back. I'm like, okay, I'm going to wear these. And so I started wearing them, and I don't know, I had them for a few weeks and was wearing them, and I decided, I don't like them. I just don't like these shoes. So I started wearing my old ones again. I haven't worn the new ones since then. Amen. I didn't care a lot about it. Amen. But you know, the thing is that when it was leading up to that, I was really thinking, man, I really need a new pair of shoes. I really need a new pair of shoes. And I did. Mine were looking kind of, kind of scummy a little bit and looking a little rough. You know what I mean? I'm just like, got to get them cleaned up or something. But I just thought it was time, you know, they're starting to get worn a little bit. But man, they're comfortable. I'm just telling you, you know. But I knew that I needed to represent a little bit better. And so I was thinking about it a lot. What is it? It's a care. Amen. See, cares can be little things. It can be big things. It doesn't matter. He didn't say cast your big cares on him. He said, cast all your cares. He didn't say just cast your medium and up cares. He said, cast all your cares. What does that mean? It means to throw it on him. Say, wait a minute. If I'm worried about this, if I'm thinking about this, if I'm distracted by this, it's something I need to give to God. I said, if I'm distracted by it, it's something I need to give to God. Have you ever just seen something that you really, really, really desire? Give it to God. What does that mean to give it to God? He doesn't actually want that thing. It's the care of it that he wants to take. And why do we say this? Because you're not equipped to carry cares. God is not, he didn't design you to carry cares. He designed you to be a caster. You're able to cast them away from you. You say, well, I don't know how. Well, God has made you so you're able to, amen. And you need to find out how, praise the Lord. Glory to God. So anything that we're going to worry about, anything that's going to cause anxiety through the idea of distraction, anything that's going to keep us from focusing on him. Amen. Isn't that the way life goes? That there's things in life that come up and man, all of a sudden, you know, sometimes I'll be, the other day it was like this. I was studying the word and I was starting to get revelation on some things and I kind of wanted to get into it deeper. And then all of a sudden, all the stuff started coming up in my day. You know, all of a sudden it was like I get a message about this or a call about this or something that I had to go attend to, and it drew me away from that. See, that's not God's desire for us, is not to be like that. Now, God's desire is us to find a place where we can put down things and go after him. Amen. But the only way that we're going to do that is if we learn to cast those cares. Now, when it says to cast the cares, it doesn't mean cast the care away from you because you can't ever have it. It doesn't mean cast it away because God doesn't want it to be part. What he wants for you is to not be worried about how to make it come to pass. Amen. God doesn't want you to be focused on how to make things happen. God doesn't want you to focus on how the corn grows. He just wants you to focus on planting it and then harvest when it's time. But he doesn't want you to focus on going out there and making sure that you have so much. Amen. Praise the Lord. In Daniel 10:12, I want to bring this up for you. Praise God, hallelujah. It says, then he said to me, you know, we see here Daniel is being visited, it was by an angel, I believe is what the context was, amen. I think that people believe it was Gabriel, the angel Gabriel, not that that matters for this at all. But look what it says here. It says, then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humble yourself before God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. Now, what do we know about angels? Angels are messengers sent to minister to those who are to receive salvation. The end of Hebrews chapter 1 tells us that. Glory to God. And so they are the ones sent to minister, or the ones to labor for. Amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so, but notice what it says here, and this is really good. I want to break this apart a little bit. He says, do not fear, Daniel, because whatever it was he brought before him, he's like, don't fear about that. Don't worry about, cast your care. That's what he's saying. Amen. From the first day that you set your heart to understand. Now that's important. See, because this is what a lot of people don't do. We need to put our heart in the place where we have to work. The biggest thing we have to work on is trusting God. Yes. And so we have to get our hearts to the place where it understands God and what he wants to do. See, when you set your heart to understand God, casting your care is going to be a whole lot easier. Why? Because you'll trust God and you'll be able to do it. The reason people so often don't cast their cares is because they think that it ain't going to come to pass. They think if I cast my care off, if I don't worry about it, if I'm not thinking about it, if I'm not giving it my attention, then it just won't happen. God's saying cast it. You know what casting it would be? It'd be like giving it to God and then forgetting that you even asked for it. Do you know there's things that I've asked God for, and I've forgotten that I've asked him. And then all of a sudden, one day, it just shows up, and then I remember. I'm like, wait a minute. I did want this thing, and God did it. Do you know there's times where I haven't even given much of a thought to something that I desired, and God just ensured that it showed up? Why? Because I've set my heart on understanding God. Now, listen, I don't understand everything about God. I'm not pretending that I do. I don't know everything about God. I'm not pretending I do. But I know enough to know this, that I get, the more hungry I get for God, the more that he manifests in my life. The more that I connect to God, the more he shows up on my behalf. The more that I give it to God, the more he gives it to me. Why? Because that's the process. See, we are the sheep. The shepherd is the one who leads and guides, right? The shepherd is the one who is the one, he's the one responsible to put the sheep into the green pastures. He's the one that's responsible to take the sheep to pure and clean waters and in smooth waters, amen? He's the one that is in charge of bringing the sheep through that storm to the other side. This is how Jesus slept in the boat, in the back of the boat when the storm was going on, because he knew his God. He set his heart to understand God. And so that the things that he said, God was already performing them. You know, the Bible says that the angels, they hearken to perform the word of God. Amen. God says in I think it's in the book of Numbers, he says that the thing that you have said in your heart or said in your whispered in my ear, that's what I will do to you. Yeah. Just as you have spoken in my ear, I guess is how it says it, I will do to you. So what you speak and how you speak, these are all things that determine what God is going to do in our lives. See, you can pray, but if you go around talking bad all the time about you never having anything or anything like that, you are negating your prayers. You're stopping your prayers. Amen. How do we cast our cares? When we get to that place where we trust God, we believe God at his word and say that the Lord is what he saying is true. How do we get to that place of believing God? By speaking it. Yeah. By saying it. Yeah. Lord, I trust you. When the trial starts rising, Lord, I trust you. Yeah. When the waters start, you know, when the storm starts pounding, Lord, I trust you. Praise God. Hallelujah. When the plane starts shaking, it feels like the wings are going to come off. Lord, I trust you. Praise the Lord. See, if you're in the plan of God, and this is the wonderful thing about being in the plan of God, if you're in the plan of God, you will see trials. You will see, but you're going to see them anyways. You will see things come against you, but you will see that anyways. But the difference is that when you're in the plan of God, you can trust God that he will bring you through to the other side. Never in his word do you see God taking out his people that are in his will. Never do you do that. No. You never, ever, 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 ever see God destroying his own people who are in his will.
That's right.
Never.
Never.
Point to it. Nope. Show me where. If you don't believe it. See, this is the one problem with religion is religion tells us that God is doing all this stuff. But the funny thing about that is we just don't see it in Scripture. We see God pass judgment on people and therefore carries out punishment on people who are being disobedient. But we do not see God. We never see him punishing his people. Amen. In fact, we see him blessing his people. His heart and his desire is to bless his people. You cannot separate God's desire from that. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so he says, from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before God. See, somebody, you know, somebody who humbles themselves before God is somebody who knows, amen, they've set their heart to understand God. Now, I want to reflect back there on 1 Peter. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. It says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. And then the next word in the next verse is casting. Amen. How do you humble yourself? By casting your cares. You humble yourselves because you're saying, I can't do this on my own accord. And so, Lord, I give it to you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let me ask you something. If you had $5 in your pocket and you were hungry and you were in your store, and you went into the store and there was a sandwich there for $2. And you didn't have anything you had to spend that $5 on. You just had it there. Would you think twice? Would you pray about it?
No.
Would you ask God if you should buy the sandwich?
No.
No. You'd be a fool if you did.
Yeah.
Why? Because if you're hungry, God's given you the ability to hunger so you know when to eat.
Yeah.
If God didn't give us the ability to hunger, we would have to pray to God, Lord, when do I eat? Because I don't know. He gave you the ability to hunger to know when it's time to eat.
Yeah.
It's an alarm.
Yeah.
It's God saying to you by design, this is how it works. This is what you need. It's time to eat. Now you got the $5 in your pocket. You don't need to pray about it. Praise the Lord. You don't have no care to cast.
Right.
But now if you're hungry and you don't know how you're going to get food, praise the Lord. Now you got to care, don't you?
Yeah.
Now it's totally different.
Yeah.
And so now you got to reach out to the Lord. Now you've got to cast that care.
Yeah.
Amen. See, when you can do it for yourself, you don't need anybody to help you.
Yeah.
But God likes to be able to do things for his children. He enjoys. It's his pleasure. It's his desire to do things for you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But he says, in Daniel, he says, and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words.
Yeah.
In other words, when we trust God, when we understand how he works, God sets things in motion at that moment, praise the Lord, to start things happening.
Yeah.
See, we need to look at it differently. Just because it's not looking the way we want it to look doesn't mean that God isn't in it. You don't know what God's doing behind the scenes. Praise the Lord. You don't know what God has done, all the things God has done to bring you to this point today. You don't know what he's done, but he's surely done some things. How do we know that? Because the devil, his job, his goal, his desire is to kill, to steal, and destroy. And so if you've made it through life, you understand this, that the devil hasn't been able to get to you for some reason. You say, well, wait a minute, I've had trial. Yeah, but are you dead? No. Then the devil hasn't really got through to you, has he? Praise the Lord. And so sometimes God will allow us to go through things. He'll allow us to get into that place where we have need because he's going to see if we actually trust him or not. Praise the Lord. Do we trust God or not? And see, if you're crying about it, if you're upset about it, if you're not sure what's going to happen, you don't trust God. And we need to get to the place where we trust God because that's what he's desiring from us. If we don't trust God, praise the Lord, we are exalting ourselves, saying that we know more than he knows. Trusting God says, don't fret about it. You want to know what true faith in God would do? It sleeps on the pillow when the boat is sinking. That's what it does. What's your boat? What's your sinking boat, man? Look at your life. What's your sinking boat? Are you able to rest or are you stressed out about it? Are you able to rest or are you worried about it? Are you thinking about it? You're not casting your care. You haven't humbled yourself. You are, believe it or not, in a place of worry, you are always exalting yourself. Because you're saying that you know more than God and he can't come through with you, or you don't believe that he can come through with you the way that you need. Because if you knew that he was, you wouldn't worry about it, right? Praise God. My wife, first snowstorm this year, the roads got real icy. My wife ended up in the ditch on the way to work. Praise the Lord. And so she calls me. And she said, I just went in the ditch. Everybody's fine, all that stuff. And so I said, okay, I'll come and I'll take care of it. Amen. And so I came. I didn't have her call the tow guy or anything like that. I got the tow strap. I put it in my Jeep. And then on the way, I called and she said it was pretty bad. I didn't know. I couldn't see her. So she said she was in pretty good. So I called the tow guy and got that set up. Amen. But she wasn't freaking out by the time I got there. Yeah. Why? Because she knew, she called me because she knew that I could do something about it. Now, she could have done stuff on her own, but it was, in that case, it was easier for her to reach out to me. And she reached out to me and I came and helped, but she wasn't all worried and freaking out about it. Why? Because she knew help was on the way. She knew that it was coming to pass. She knew that eventually she was going to be out of that ditch, praise the Lord, and that she was going to be back on the road, going to work and doing all the things that she had to do. Praise the Lord. That's what faith is. Praise the Lord. When there's a trial, when there's a storm, when you're in the ditch, maybe you're in the ditch so bad you can't get out of it. That's okay. Why? Help's coming. If you trust in it, praise the Lord, but you got to trust in it. Did you set your heart to understand God? Is God, God said that if you being evil can give good gifts to those that you love, he said, how much more will your heavenly Father give to those, praise the Lord, that ask him? How much more will he? So if God wants to get you out of trial, praise the Lord, if you believe it. But if you don't believe it, then I guess you won't see it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Turn with me to Hebrews 4:10. Or 4:1, sorry. Hebrews 4:1, we're going to read through verse 10. So if you go to Hebrews 4:10, then you'll get the end. You'll already know I'm going to preach. Just don't go there yet. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 4:1, and we'll read through verse 10. Praise God. It says, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest. Folks, that should light us up right there. Since a promise remains, there is a promise that remains to enter his rest. What is God's rest? God's rest is his promise. Yeah. It's his promised land. Amen? Right. That's what he was promising his people. He was promising his people a place of rest. What is a place of rest? A place of rest is a place where you can lay your head down knowing that you're safe, that you're taken care of, that you're fed. Listen, like we all know, if you ever watch a survival show or a survivalist on TV or YouTube or anything like this, they always have a list of things that you do first, right? What you're going to search for is you're going to search for shelter. And then you're going to search for food and water, or water than food, amen? And then you're going to search for, you're going to look for building a fire and stuff like that. So you go through all these processes, amen, because you want to be in a place of rest. Hallelujah. All those things are provided in a place of rest. That's what God wants to do. He wants to bring us to a place of rest. Listen, you are not in rest if you're all hyped up, all worried, all strung out, not knowing what you're going to do or how. You know, even if it's not a trial, even again, just go back to what I said about cares. Even if it's just something you desire and you just like, I don't know how this will ever happen. Yeah. Have you ever daydreamed? Daydreamers are ones that don't believe that could ever come to pass. Yeah, amen. I get excited about daydreams. Why? Because I know they're not dreams. They're desires. And God has promised me that he brings me desires. Well, some people don't believe that, but it's the truth. Praise God. Since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. So he's saying that we should, God isn't saying that we should be afraid. We should reverently understand this. That there's a promise of rest, but we can come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. He's talking about God's people that were in the wilderness, right? That they were looking for the promised land. Hallelujah. The land what? Flowing with milk and honey. Have you ever thought about that? When you want to know if God wants to really bless you or not, all those people people that try to explain away things like this, and they say, well, God doesn't want God isn't for prosperity for us and all this stuff. Look at the Israelites. Yeah. And this is what it's talking about. He's comparing us to them. We know, he said, a land flowing with milk and honey. What was that? Everything that they would possibly need. Now, did he say that the land was going to come without opposition? Absolutely not. We knew the land had opposition. The Bible tells us that. The Bible also tells us that those stories are written for our benefit so we can understand how we're supposed to live. And yet Christians run around today saying God don't want you blessed. That God does that. Jeremiah 29:11 doesn't really apply to God's people. Oh, so he gave us Jesus, which we're told is better. And yet God doesn't have a good enough plan for us? Come on now. Well, praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as them, but the word which they heard did not profit them. What they heard, the promise that they heard, it didn't profit them. In other words, they didn't get the promise. Amen? Not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Now, we have to understand something about faith. This is something that I've been digging into a lot recently. Amen? Faith is not something that you bring in after the fact to try to clean up your problems. Faith is a thing that carries us from the point we're at to the point of the promise. That's what faith does. Faith gets us there. Faith is the vehicle that takes us from the point that you are, amen, to the point of the promise. That's what faith is. If you don't know that there can be a promise at the end, you cannot have faith in it. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Because what is faith? Faith is the expectation, praise the Lord, of the things promised. The hope, the assurance, the title deed. It's the guarantee, praise the Lord, that the end will happen, that the promised end, not just the end, not just you'll get to the end, you'll finally get there and you'll crash, but no, the end, the promised end, what God has promised, the promised land, and he's talking about this. Paul is bringing up, praise the Lord, he's bringing up the promised land because the promise still remains. He's saying even, now this is after Jesus died. He's saying the promise still remains of entering his rest, but lest you fall short of it. And how are you going to fall short of it? By the word not profiting you if you don't mix it with faith when you hear it. The word preached says you can. That's your cue to take faith. Amen. For we who have believed do enter that rest. We do enter it if you believe. Are you in rest? And you haven't believed. Praise the Lord. See, some people say that you can't, like, this isn't what faith for. What else is faith for then? What is faith for if it's not to receive what God has promised? Because that's the very thing that God created it for. So what else is it for, Christian? Christians are like, they're like this. You can't say that somebody didn't have enough faith, so that's why they didn't receive. Why? Why can't I say that's what the Bible says? That's what God said about it. He designed faith. I didn't design it. Your ideas didn't design faith. God designed faith. Faith is meant to work the way faith is supposed to work. And faith is supposed to do one thing, and that's get us into the promises of God. Amen? What does faith in Jesus Christ get you? Into the promise that Jesus has promised. The promise of Christ. The promise of salvation. That's what it's for, right? See how simple it is? It's so amazing that people can't get this. Amazing. Smart people. Praise the Lord. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. In other words, God is saying that if you will not have faith, if you will not trust him, if you will not humble yourself and cast your cares, then guess what? You don't get it. You disqualify yourself. Guess what? Go bark up another tree because you're not getting it here. I'm not giving it to you. Yeah. If you can't believe it, if you can't believe me at my word, then it doesn't belong to you anymore. He says he swore it in his wrath. He was mad. It ticked God off when people said, oh, I don't think we can do it, God. He said, I just told you could do it. I just gave it to you. I said it's yours. If God says it's yours, guess what? It's yours. Praise the Lord. But if you don't receive it, poop. Okay, guess not. Here it is. You have a space and time. Receive it. Or don't. But it's up to you. For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way. And God rested on the seventh day from all his works. Again, in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it. And those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. Again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, everyone say today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Today, if you will hear, if you will, it didn't say if you can hear, he said if you will hear. Yeah. Folks, you're hearing his voice today. Yeah. Not because I'm preaching, but because I'm preaching the word. Yeah. Not because Pastor Jeff's saying it, but because Pastor Jeff is preaching the word. Right. If you were up here speaking the word, you would be hearing God's voice. Yeah. Why? His voice is in his word. His word is his voice. Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Why? Because if you harden your hearts, like the Israelites hardened their hearts, you will not receive the rest that he has promised. Christians run around like chickens with their heads cut off, not knowing how are we gonna listen, it's gotta stop. It's just gotta stop. We just got to be done with that way of living. Why? Because it's not faith and it doesn't get you anywhere. Christians running around like that, man, it's just annoying. And I imagine that it would annoy God. Certainly the angels have been annoyed. Yeah, I'm sure that they are. Why? Because they're watching these Christians. The Bible says they look on us and wonder. Amen. I wonder if that's what they're wondering. Why are these people like this? Like, don't you understand who God is? Apparently you don't. Oh, amen. Praise God, hallelujah. Glory to God. Hebrews 4:16 in the Amplified says, let us then fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace. The throne, it's going to explain what the throne of grace is, the throne of God's unmerited favor to us sinners, that we may receive mercy for our failures, and find grace to help, God's ability to help, in good time for every need. Yeah. Just a few of them, though. Every need, appropriate and well-timed help coming just when we need it. Just when we need it. That's what faith does. But you have to come confidently, fearlessly, confidently, and boldly draw near to that throne. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is what God desires for us. But see, so often what we're trying to do, we get the sheep-shepherd relationship mixed up. We forget that the shepherd wants to take us. Like, there's no shepherd that has ever existed, no good shepherd that has ever existed that thought, man, how can I poison my sheep today? How can I kill off my sheep today? How can I take them into more trial? No, take them through trial. Amen. Turn with me to Psalm 37. Praise God. Hallelujah. Psalm 37. Trust in the Lord. Verse 3. Psalm 37, 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Trust in him. Cast your cares on him. You will not cast your cares on someone you don't trust. Amen? Glory to God. Trust in the Lord and do good. You know what's so funny? If Christians, or people in general, the way people are, you know, like I said, if you don't trust in something, when you're in a trial or a particular thing, you don't even care to have that person around. You know, but like, it's funny to me, like people, maybe a person gets sick or something like that and they don't want to go to the hospital, but really that's the best place for you. Yeah. Why? Because they know what they're equipped to do stuff. They're equipped to take care of it, you know. Of course, we know that Jesus is healer and stuff like that, but that doesn't mean that we reject natural healing, amen, or natural methods. Glory to God. Hallelujah. A lot of times, they want people that comfort them around. And I understand that. But the thing is that just because I can comfort you with my words doesn't mean that I'm not talking about me as your pastor, but I'm just talking about in general, just because I can comfort somebody with my words doesn't mean that I can actually do anything for them. Right. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So trust in the Lord and do good. dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Praise the Lord. You know what that word feed means? It means to be shepherded by. I like that. I really like that when I dug into this because I was like, oh, that's so good. Dwell in the land and be shepherded by his faithfulness. Glory to God. Let him lead you to the blessing. Let him lead you to the food. Let him lead you to that place of rest. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. What are you trying to make happen? What are you trying to do in your life? Are you casting your care on him? Are you letting God actually do it? Are you letting him shepherd you? Or are you trying to shepherd yourself? This is what Christians are doing when they're doing their things their own way. I'm going to make my plans. I'm just going to, you know, I'm not going to consult God before I change jobs, before I change churches, before I move to a different house, before I buy a car. All these big things, they never consult God and they never know what God has for them. Praise the Lord. They're not being shepherded. They're taking things on by themselves. Glory to God. And so we understand here, this is exactly what God is desiring for us to do, is to let him be God and you be you and let God be God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Psalm 23:1 in the Amplified. This is the last one. Hallelujah. I liked what it says in the Amplified. It says, the Lord is my shepherd to feed, to guide, and shield me. I shall not lack. You remember what the angel told Daniel? He said he came because of your words. What are you saying? Are you saying, Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack? I won't lack anything. Why? Because he's my shepherd, and the shepherd feeds, he guides, and he shields the sheep. He protects them from wolves, protects them from danger. Is the Lord your shepherd? Do you allow him to shepherd you, or are you trying to do it yourself? Cast your cares on him. When you've got something that's too big for you, when you got some, hey, listen, if it's a $2 sandwich and you got $5, don't worry about it. Praise the Lord. God's provided it. He's already provided it. You don't have to worry about it. Praise the Lord. But when it's something bigger than you can't afford, don't worry about that either. Cast it on him and let him take care of it. Amen. Praise the Lord. If we can learn to do this, if we learn to trust God and let him feed us, if we will allow God to do his job and to shepherd us, he will do exactly that. But it takes trust. It takes you putting down your will. It takes you putting down the things that you think are the way it should be and letting him do things the way it should actually be. Amen.